he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How are you feeling today?
I'm fine, and I'd like to say hello to Debbie Perry's children, who always, she says, she emailed me and said they always say hello along with us. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
What are their names?
I don't know what their names are. We're going to have to find out what
their names are. Okay, Debbie, so we want to know their names, and we're going to do a special hello to each one of them.
Next time.
So here's one for Debbie. Hello, Debbie.
There you go. See, I think they'll enjoy that.
And haven't we had a great summer and a wonderful autumn and fall? And isn't it wonderful when you wake up and the sun is shining?
Oh,
it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. We have a million-dollar view. It's gorgeous in the mountain range. And we've really had a really great 3 or 4 months of beautiful weather. It's amazing.
And since we've moved the Institute to the top of the hill, mm-hmm. on top of beautiful Burnaby Mountain, overlooking all of Vancouver mm-hmm. and the West Coast, it's absolutely incredible to have that vista every morning.
There's a few trees that I'd like to, in the night, I'd like to be taken down. But
when we wake up and we see the sun coming up
yes.
with Mount Baker there,
mm-hmm.
and then the sort of the fog and the clouds kind of hovering over the river,
yeah,
and
cool.
then every day it's different.
Mm-hmm.
A million-dollar view really is that, isn't it? It's
yeah.
kind of healing.
It is.
To have a wonderful view.
Yeah, it's great. I just get out of, away from you and go look at the view and come back and take a few deep breaths, but the air is really fresh up there.
It is.
It's beautiful to be outdoors.
Our elevation is about 343 meters, over 1,100 feet, mm-hmm. so we're just high enough mm-hmm. to be away from some of that smog that we look out at.
I know, really.
You know, but then that automobile exhaust, what do you
mm-hmm.
expect, huh?
Mm-hmm. Start riding your bikes.
So, my dear, what's cooking?
What's cooking? Well, a lot of people always ask us what we have for snack foods and treats, especially, you know, before you go to bed when you've got the munchies. Not directly before you go to bed, but let's say you're up with the family or friends and you're watching a good movie or involved in conversation and you want to serve something in the nibble department. I just thought that I'd put a few ideas together to get you away from the potato chips and taco chips and chocolate bars. Things that are loaded with salt and trans fats and garbage.
High glycemic carbohydrates,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So I just thought to try to buy the highest quality products and remember it's your body that you're feeding. And also remember that these suggestions are not necessarily fat-free or contain few calories, but they have healthy fats and good carbohydrates that won't damage your health.
And that's what makes the difference, right?
That's right.
If you eat... Like, isn't that what dietitians don't get about the calories? They think that X food has X calories, and so this other food...
I'm really getting frustrated with this calorie.
But isn't that obvious to you? It's
yeah,
always been obvious,
it's obvious to me.
That a glass of carrot juice with X amount of calories might be the same as a glass of pop. And to
yeah.
them, it's the same thing.
They just
look at calories.
I want to shake people.
Not
up.
Enzymes, not
yeah.
vitality, not the vital nutrition
right.
component and the micronutrients.
Mm-hmm. It's all about calories. So that's, I've never counted a calorie in my life, ever. Right?
Why would you? According to Dr. Colgan, it's a schoolboy fable that was taught to us.
Thank you, Dr. Colgan, for that. It makes me feel
just so that we
better.
Could try and comprehend this incredible, very difficult to understand translation of energy from food into our body. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he says that none of us are bomb calorimeters, right? We're living beings. And
well,
there's so many variables.
I don't know about you.
Well, look at the differences in metabolism, right?
Yes, exactly. So some like sweet and some like savory treats. So these suggestions are a bit of both. But they're all nutritious and they're all extremely delicious, especially when you're in the munchy mode. So there's always the protein shake, which is a really good start to the munchie program. So start with a small glass of shake and then go from there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, because the protein coming in first helps curb the appetite for the sugar and the sweets.
In most cases, yes.
Well, no, if you have a protein shake,
right, exactly.
I mean, that's what I recommend.
That's what we always do that. We always have a little shake first.
Yeah, try eating cookies on their own and see how many you can get through. And then first start with a protein
yeah.
shake and then go to the
yeah.
cookies.
It's amazing.
Right? You'll eat
mm-hmm.
far less cookies.
It doesn't have to be a great big huge shake. Just a small six-ounce glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's relative to the person, too, because
absolutely.
You got to get your protein hit throughout the day.
That's
you got to
right.
keep that nitrogen up.
That's right. So a fresh, why don't you try a fresh fruit plate with pineapple, strawberries, and grapes? And you can add a small little cubes of white cheese with a light rye cracker or a heated manna bread with ghee and unpasteurized honey. All these products you can buy at a health food store.
That's right. And remember that when milk comes out of a cow, it's not orange.
I know. That's why I said the white cheese.
So why are you eating orange cheese,
right,
people?
Yes, exactly. So just tiny little cubes. Let's see what else I've got here. Why not put a box of mandarin oranges on the table and just watch them disappear, right?
And they're low glycemic as well.
Yeah. And isn't that what you always take? If there's a potluck dinner that we go to, and they say, bring whatever you want. Corey always brings a box of mandarin oranges. And I'm always like, how embarrassing. We should bring something really elaborate. But, you know, they go. People are so happy. They love that box of mandarin oranges, right? And how about you now have a little plate of, like, dried dates, some dried apricots or dried figs? They're also a really nice snack as well.
Concentrated power sources of energy.
I know.
Right? But then we're talking about
sweet.
We're active people. Everyone out there, I assume, is also physically active. You need to sustain your body with energy.
And then there's also the roasted nuts in a shell, such as peanuts, walnuts, hazelnuts, or almonds. It makes you work for your food. But make sure that you have the proper nutcrackers and the picks for everyone. And you can really have fun, you know, picking your...
Well, nature has built in to the process the time delay. Like if you have a bowl of, let's say, mixed nuts that are salted and fried, you know how much you can put in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now you look at the amount of calories that you can... Now, here we're talking about calories. So it is relative to the content,
right,
of energy.
Yeah.
So you can put in a couple of thousand calories in no time flat. Now you've got a bowl of almonds and walnuts that you have to crack. Well, it's almost so frustrating to get to the nut, and it takes time,
yep,
that there's a delay in the process that allows your body to reach a state of satiation, which it can't do in 2 minutes when you're shoveling in these fried,
salted
nuts.
I know. If I've eaten salt, let's say I'll have a Chinese food or I'll eat something salty, the next day I've got major puffy eyes. It's
oh, the
horrible.
Edema.
Ugh.
Yeah, where sodium goes, water follows. And so that's an extracellular cation, right? So you got this buildup of sodium outside, and that's why you swell up like the Michelin man.
Here's another one that I really like. So in a bowl, get a mixture of the raw chocolate bits with organic raisins and dried goji berries. I love this treat because it's chewy and sweet and chocolate.
And those chocolate
bits,
they're non-sweetened, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
There's no sugar in them. It's just the raw...
They're bitter flavor aftertaste.
Not chocolate. It's the raw cocoa.
Yes.
Not chocolate.
Yeah.
Because chocolate is cocoa beans that have been ground and mixed with dairy and sugar. That's chocolate.
Right. That's what's on the package, though, that I looked at yesterday. But all of these products you can buy at a health food store, just do a mixture of them. And it takes time to chew and eat them, so you get that satiation.
Yeah, the satiety factor.
I couldn't figure out
the word.
The
SF.
Yes, exactly. So it hits the brain. So that's a really great little snack. And we've also talked about air pop popcorn with ghee and sea salt, or even air pop popcorn with ghee and garlic powder, or with ghee and Tabasco sauce. That's another one.
No, Deanna.
Deanna told us about that.
Michael's wife. I mean, she was telling us about this new strategy that she's developed. And even Olivia, our granddaughter, likes the Tabasco popcorn.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's lots of things you can do with the popcorn. So,
and you know, the hot food satisfies appetite as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you make food really super hot and spicy, and you'll find that you'll eat less of it,
mm-hmm,
than a bland food.
Yes. So there's lots of good little things that you can have. And here's another one. Sprouted whole wheat wraps with almond butter, banana, and honey. You roll it up and you cut it into three and watch everyone just devour them. They really do the trick.
Hey, when I used to live in Hawaii, that was my favorite thing in life. I'd get that Hawaiian honey and then I'd get the sesame seed paste tahini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And the sprouted chapatis, which
with
we would
banana.
Even make. And then you just roll that thing together. Oh, man, what a taste sensation.
Well, we made that for everybody that come over, and I tell you.
Or you can even take
dessert.
Yes, and then the tahini, what is it, tahini and dates mixed, and then you roll it in coconut.
Oh.
Those are nice little treats. The kids love these things.
Oh, yeah. Never mind the kids. Forget the kids.
There's a kid in every one of us, believe me.
We also have hard-boiled eggs with sea salt and a heated sprouted whole wheat wrap with ghee.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice, just to munch on some hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah, well, when the wraps are sprouted, they're utilized differently. They're less allergenic. They're well-received by the body. But you can build into those almost anything, and very quickly as well.
So you just want to get creative with your snacking choices, but you must plan ahead and think what you'd like to have on those nights when you do get the munchies. And when you say, oh, I had the munchies, most people think you're going to grind out on chocolate chip cookies and potato chips and taco chips.
Well, that's what people do.
That's what people do.
They go to the 7-Eleven, the Mac store, right. The corner store, and what do they have there?
Right.
Organic food?
No.
No.
Oh,
they have nothing but crap.
Exactly. I don't think there's anything we could find.
Right?
Maybe
which
an
is
apple.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
They should also have an equal amount of everything that you and I would like to choose from, but they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, whole food isn't convenient.
Well,
Do you know what I mean?
We have the technology. Mm-hmm. We can build him or her.
Right.
But the technology is not being applied to food as it is in computers and in all of the engineering feats that man has achieved. He's ignoring food. The most important weapon against disease.
And you can wake up and you can feel good. You don't feel like crap when you wake up the next morning after eating, grinding out on a bunch of junk food.
Yeah, literally, it's about quality,
junk.
Right?
It is junk.
Yes.
You know, this is not junk food. This is healthy, whole food. Just be careful how much you eat, though. But, you know, it's nutritious as well. Your body is going to benefit from it.
But, see, whole food has, again, built into it a limitation. Like with heavy black bread, you can't eat very much of that. Like, you just cannot sit down and eat a whole loaf. There's just too much of it there versus, you know, a loaf of white bread. You can just carve right through the whole thing.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So nature has a built-in standard that keeps us all in check. And when we deviate from her, that's when we get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So try to think about some of those things. You know, even if you have the kids over, like over for an evening or a sleepover or something, these are some of the good little things that you can have too. Kids love them. We know. They're kid-tested. Right? We've had 3 kids, so we know what they like.
That's right.
Right.
In-do-out principle, right? Quality in, quality out.
That's right.
Okay, that was excellent. Good tips, dear. So, moving on, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Miss Carlene Karst. Carlene is a wonderful speaker, and she's just filled with knowledge. And she was also born and raised on a farm, so she's a farm girl, and she really understands the importance of whole food, and she's really keen on essential fatty acids.
I got some good farm girl jokes. No,
okay,
I think we should tell
them. Share one.
I can't remember them.
How about farm boy jokes? Why does it always have to be girl? Anyway, that was just a fantastic interview, Carlene. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and she is really into the research and speaks it out clearly. She's a great speaker. We're going to have to get her to speak at our symposium.
Mm-hmm. No ums and buts and ifs and ands.
Yeah, I spent very little time editing her presentation, and she has this real firm grasp of essential fatty acid value, which for some people, they never truly get. You know, so getting those essential fats into the brain is what gives you that better recognition of their importance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just makes me, every time I hear one of our special guest interviews, it always makes me want to run home and take more vitamins and do what they say to do, right? I always want to run home and do more.
Absolutely.
But it helps. She keeps you on track, too, listening to these special guest interviews.
Well, she's a bit of a heretic, too. She's a registered dietitian, which in some circles is viewed as the enemy.
Yes.
Right? So she recognizes the value of both circles.
Absolutely.
And lives amongst all and is friend to all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what good health is. It's about goodwill. And being authentic and pursuing health on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Darren Willoughby. Darren is the Associate Professor of Exercise Biochemistry and Molecular Physiology Department of Health, Human Performance and Recreation for Baylor University in Texas. Now, Corey, I have never seen anyone with more letters behind their name than Darren. I just can't believe it.
And you know what?
There's
the
like
guy's
20.
I know. And not only has he got the credentials, but what a powerhouse. Do you remember when we first met him?
Oh, yeah.
The guy is built like a tank. And we're talking a solid, muscular tank. This guy lifts heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Is a competitive powerlifter, bodybuilder.
Also, he was the president of the
ISSN. Yeah, so that's how we met him.
ISSN.
Yes, the International Society
of Sports Nutrition.
Yeah.
Down in Las Vegas.
And him and who else was there? Jose? Antonio. So they're a couple of crazy guys, huh? I mean, here they're both PhDs, the professors. They've got the knowledge, but they're wild and crazy, which is our kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool. They're into training. And that's a beautiful mix, having that knowledge, having the biochemical understanding, but also being cool enough and humble enough to recognize that we're all in the same boat and we're one for all and all for one.
Absolutely. So I really look forward to that one. That's going to be a great interview.
Absolutely. And both he and Jose right now are reviewing the CSNA program so that we can get endorsement from the ISSN and move that forward as more and more people become aware of the program. That means we can achieve our goal, which is what, dear? To
educate the world in sports nutrition, health, and fitness.
There you go. Boy, you're well-trained. Good stuff. So I'm looking forward to that interview with Darren. Okay, dear, so let's get right to it. What is your hot topic?
My hot topic is training outside. So you know that I'm not a sporty girl, so to speak, such as playing soccer and baseball and grass hockey, etc., etc. I'm more the ballroom dancer, but I weight train in the gym and I do yoga, which are all done in a controlled environment. The most radical physical activity that I do is I hike up Grouse Grind, which is very difficult, and the terrain is unstable at times. So that's about as far as I get for being...
Well, that's some of its value, right?
Yeah.
The instability of training.
Yes.
Is what we look for.
Yes, exactly.
Because that sterility of the training paradigm has been challenged, right? It makes you generate... Well,
you've got to be aware of what's going on, you know, when you're outside.
You can't transfer sterile training onto the field because playing sport is not about being stable. Mm-hmm. It's about being agile and skillful in an unstable environment.
Yeah, which I've never really done before. You know, I mean, I've joined the running room and I've ran, but on a track, right? So, I mean, I like to be in control. So this is really going out on a limb for me.
Well, even when you're running, like around a track, that's not how you play football. You don't run around in a circle perfectly every time.
I like running
but
around
you do that in track and field.
Yes.
So it depends on the sport.
Exactly. So I was getting bored with my training routine and I'd walk into the gym and I just want to walk and turn around again. I've always mentioned to you, Corey, that I'd like to have a personal trainer to make me do the work and to give me an incentive other than the health aspect, but to challenge me and put some excitement back into my workouts. So I now have a lifestyle coach trainer. His name is Daryl Greenwood, and Daryl is a graduate of the CSNA education program, and he's now working on his CSNA master's degree. And how's he doing that, Corey?
Yes, and I know that was a careful construct of your own doing. Isn't that convenient?
Very
huh?
convenient. No, I mean, it's just working out so well. I'm just like tickled pink.
Well, no, I mean, this is the thing with the master's degree CSNA. We want people to come to us and say, this is the idea that we've got, and or be willing to entertain a strategy that creates the master's degree based on what it is that you're going to do. So what Daryl is doing is he's putting together a protocol for you, and in return for training you and submitting that outline over how long of a period? Is it one
forever.
Or 2 years?
Forever.
Well,
he doesn't realize this,
though. Sure. Yeah, exactly. No.
No, it's not.
So
forever.
Whatever it is that he's doing for you, he will submit that to me. I'll review it, and then that's going to be equivalent to his CSNA master's degree.
But the ultimate goal is I have to strip down and show you what I got.
Of course.
And then, you know,
I will be
are
the
you
judge.
Happy with it? You get to be the judge.
Of course.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah. So that's the effort that he's putting into achieving his master's degree.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he's earning every penny of it, I tell you, because I'm not an easy case study. Nonetheless, the first thing that Daryl had me to do was to set a goal. And not just a healthy and wellness goal, because I'm there already, but to really look into the future and see myself achieving a fitness goal that I desired. That squeezed the juice out of me and really made me thirsty for an attainable goal. And it's exciting to picture yourself with this fitness goal. So it's a fitness goal that I really needed and I didn't have. I mean, I've got other goals in my life that I want to do in the business and family and that sort of thing. But as far as a fitness goal, this is not something that I haven't done before. I've had fitness goals before, but just at this stage of my life, I had no fitness goals. And I was just like a happy wanderer.
Yeah, you're like
a
lump of lard.
I was an unhappy wanderer.
A bump on a log.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, I know. And I'd go into the gym and Corey says, what are you doing today? And I'd just say, oh, I don't feel like being here. And I just knew that there was something wrong. This is not good because I've always been into fitness and training, but I just, you know, basically, so Daryl squeezed it out of me. What is your goal? well, you know, strip down and show me what you got. That's my goal. Well, what we do is we start with the first part of the training, which is a warm-up walk-run sprint in the trails in Burnaby Mountain, which is so fresh and clean, the air. It's just absolutely beautiful. We talk and we laugh and we mastermind about our goals in our life. And Daryl is hellbent on mindset and sets me up for the second half of the training routine, which is squats and deadlifts.
Hello, I like that.
I know you do.
Yeah.
And I'm going, me, squats and deadlifts. I have done squats and deadlifts before, been there, done that, but never really had a goal with my squats and deadlifts.
Well, I took Diana just through my mentorship program and trained her exactly like how I train.
Mm-hmm.
Deadlifting, powerlifting, power building. And you know what? There's no woman alive at any level, no matter how out of shape they are, that mm-hmm. cannot adapt yes. to the system.
Exactly.
People think that you have to be in incredible shape to deadlift. That's not true.
Well, they also see people in the gym doing deadlifts and squats with this massive amount of weight on, which is very intimidating, and think that in order to get a squat or a deadlift, you have to lift massive amounts of weight.
No, it's all relative to your existing
exactly.
level of strength and development.
Yes.
But the technique and the precision-like movement, that is what you have to focus on initially, with whatever amount of weight that it takes to do that. And initially, the weight is not even a factor.
Right. Okay, so where was I? Okay, so we've done the first half of our routine, and I'm all geared now. I can hardly wait to get into those squats and deadlifts, believe it or not. I just want to do it.
Awesome.
Because what I'm looking at is not the way I just say, okay, how many do I have to do? I just want to get this over with. And I don't complain because I wanted this. So that's part of the deal, is not complaining, which is very difficult for me. I'm a bit of a whiner here and there, right?
Stop whining.
Yeah. So by the second half of the workout, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get going. So I have plenty. I've got so much fresh air. The fresh air, training outside with the fresh air, is absolutely the only way to go. I mean,
that's
I'm
what I love about track and field and outdoor sports. The fresh air, the sunshine, for sure, absolutely.
So now it's time to get into the real meat of the session. Like I said, the squat and the deadlifts. And Daryl brings with him in his car an Olympic bar, free weights, balance board, skipping rope, rubber bands, boxing gear, Swiss ball, and the deadly wheel, which is, we use pretty much everything in each session, which is really great. Me getting into boxing.
Well, that's what you like. You like variety.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we have a goal for me. He says, picture a vision, he says, when I'm doing my boxing, and I'm picturing your head, Corey.
Good.
Banging
I like
you in the
it.
Head, I'll tell you, boy.
Whatever it takes.
I get down and dirty when it comes to that.
Good. I know
there
that
are times.
I know that you're very frustrated in our relationship, so go for it.
Shut up. So we do our squats. So I do the squats and I do the deadlifts outside in the sun. The sun is in my face. It is absolutely amazing. I have never done this before. And it's hard work, but I love it. I've always been in a controlled environment. So there really is something to this. I'm just experiencing something new in my life at my age, and I'm absolutely
getting off on it. Well, that's the uniqueness of Daryl's program. He's bringing people outside.
Yeah.
And that's very intriguing to a lot of people. And, you know, again, when I was at one time living in Hawaii, I met Sammy, a good friend, and we created and built a gym outside under his mango tree. And it was fantastic. After we'd finished working at the hotel, we'd go for a workout and have these incredible workouts under the mango tree, yeah. You know, lifting and pumping and in the sun. And it was just incredible.
What I found is, like, sometimes I'll do it in my bare feet in the dirt. You know, because we've had really nice weather now. When it starts to rain, I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out.
Well, this is Rocky-style training, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, like, it's not flat surface, so you got to adjust to it as well. So you really have to use your core. That's a big thing as well. And the power of breath is very important. He really concentrates on breathing and using the power of breath to move through the exercise. So I'm really getting into that now. So he's motivating and he's stimulating and he makes me work hard. Like, he's very, very professional. It's because it's really funny, because a lot of people say, well, why don't you just train with Corey, Tracy? Why don't you just train with Corey? I don't know if I could train with you. You drive me nuts.
Well, I don't want to train with you anyway. You're a wimp.
Oh, come on. Daryl doesn't think I'm a wimp.
I know. And that's why it's good for you guys to train together.
Yes,
you know what? I'm really a loner when it comes to training.
Yes, I know.
I want to train how I want to train, when I want to train, where I want to train, in my own time, in my own way. And that's always how I've been.
Yeah. Well, I guess I've been a ballroom dancer, so I've always had a partner. And I'm used to
Well, different strokes
somebody.
For different folks,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I
don't want to be babysat. That's not what I want. I just want somebody.
Oh, I'm not a good babysitter.
No, you definitely
no
are
way.
Not a good babysitter. That's
no,
for sure.
I'm not a nursemaid. No,
no
way.
And then you cut me down and all this kind of stuff.
Well, no
you
wonder.
Make fun of me?
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah,
of course I will.
So, yes. And so I do. I really
That's
want to
That's how I build myself
you.
Up. The more I cut you down, the higher I get.
So I think it's for me. I mean, I can train on my own. Like today, I'm going to go train on my own. I do my own thing. But it's really nice to have somebody force you to do it. Because, you know, I'd be doing a squat or I'd be doing a deadlift or I'd be doing a bicep curl. And I would just say, oh, I can't do anymore. But this way, it squeezes one or two more out of me and forces me to do it. So it's really great. It just brings out the best in me, I think.
That's good.
Yeah. But outdoor training is really, I am just so getting off on it. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
So thanks,
and
Daryl.
So, thanks, Daryl. And so I do recognize your weakness and your need for dependency and your inadequacies. And I accept that.
You know, shut
and
up.
And that's why we make a good couple, dear.
Yes,
because
right.
I accept you as you are.
So anyways,
on that final note, what is your final word?
My final word is start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible.